and a desire for gold inside pocket. Now who's a couple they come out? A couple we don't know waiting for do it couple.
All right.
Thank you. All right, we are here. We are very excited. We have Dr. Alexis Pauline Gums in the studio. She is an amazing person. Wait, the Black Love Evangelist, Troublemaker, the Walking Ancestral Altar. That's the introduction I decided to bring her on with today. And she's also a contributor to the upcoming Octavia's Blood, which everybody is so excited mm-hmm. about. She's doing Eternal Summer of the Black Feminist Mind and so much more, I'm sure. But we'll just let you shine some brilliance on us. How are you?
I'm doing great. I love that, Walking Ancestral Altar. One of the things that I stay present to so many Black feminist ancestors in a million ways. But one of the things I've been thinking about all morning is that today is June Jordan's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, June Jordan. And I think about her all the time, just the legacy of her words, the mandate that she had to be honest through poetry. And, you know, especially being here and with the mm-hmm. alternative media work that you all are doing, the intense critiques she had of the ways that American media would spin world issues. So I'm thinking a lot about what would June Jordan say as I see the coverage of everything that's happening in occupied Palestine right now. I'm thinking, what would June Jordan be saying about it? Because I know she would have something to say.
Oh, yeah. So just for folks that don't know, because you invoked her and brought her into the room with us, tell people a little bit about June Jordan. Sure.
Sure. June Jordan was a great American poet. She was born and raised in Brooklyn by Jamaican parents, and she went to Barnard College. I say that because I went to Barnard College. That's the only reason that's really relevant. And she created amazing books of poetry. She was mentored by Fannie Lou Hamer. She wrote a great children's book about Fannie Lou Hamer. She has a series of young adult literature, most of which were banned because they really talked about youth organizing. Mm. And she also created an incredible revolutionary transformative curriculum that is still being practiced called Poetry for the People.
Oh, wow. Sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. So what are you doing in town this time around?
Well, we were just in Magnolia, Mississippi at the Black Feminist Breathing Retreat. So Black Feminist Breathing for me is a process of being present, of chanting, of meditating, of invoking. And I specifically use the words of Black feminists who have inspired me, or Black folks who have inspired my practice of Black feminism, who are now ancestors. So June Jordan is definitely one of those people. We were chanting one of her most enduring phrases, "We are the ones we've been waiting for." And it was just beautiful to have all of these folks of African descent embodying those words. It ended up being like a ring shout. You know, we were dancing. We were like praising the fact that it's true. Mm-hmm. There's no more waiting. We are the ones and we're here.
Yeah. Exactly. And so this meditation retreat came at the tail end of a 21-day Black feminist breathing
chorus. Yes.
So tell us about that, putting that together and bringing it in, and bringing all those ancestors. And we're going to share a piece of June Jordan, the one you did with June Jordan.
It's been so beautiful. So I thought about, you know, as a Black feminist queer Black troublemaker running around the world, of course I needed a grounding practice for myself, right? And so I started to explore different practices that people use, and chanting and meditating and mantras that have been powerful for folks for many centuries and many generations. And as I, you know, tried some of them on, and I was, you know, chanting Buddhist mantras, I was like, this is cool, but what would it mean to create something based on these words that I'm actually living by every day? You know, the words that I give as advice to my students, the words that are the epigraphs for what I write, you know, those words that have been so grounding for me and that were offered by these incredible Black ancestors who I love and appreciate. So for myself, leading up to my birthday last year, I just decided to choose some of these phrases and chant them to myself repetitively. And it was incredible just to experience them in my body. And then, of course, I was like, well, let's do this with other people. And we would chant them together. And it was something, there was something very powerful about embodying these words. And what, as a meditative practice, I was able to see, because they're these short sentences, right? But they can be interpreted infinite ways. And they can also make space for maybe what my ancestors are trying to tell me, or what I know in my body that I haven't necessarily made space to listen to. And I realized that it really is a technology that can do, you know, again, talking about what the media does with us, I have these messages of like, am I good enough, or am I smart enough, or this has to happen faster, or all these internalized capitalist messages that I'm dealing with all the time. And my intention is to actually clear those out. But when you make a space, there's a space. And so what I want to fill my body with, what I want to fill my mind with, is the wisdom of these ancestors as something that affirms me and grounds me. So this year I was like, okay, well, it's time to share it with everyone, you know, in a way that folks wherever they are can participate. And I just kind of made an email list and was like, if you want to get these emails, you know, sign up for this list and I'll send them to you every day when I make them. And hundreds of people signed up. I didn't really think like so many people were going to sign up, but like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of folks signed up to get these meditations. And my partner, genius Shango Dare, Julia Roxanne Wallace, composed amazing music to go along with the chanting. And people shared it far and wide with their friends. And I made collage images as part of my practice too, of just really presencing myself to how much I love these ancestors. And it's been a beautiful, beautiful experience.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. I remember I would see see the posts and know that folks were doing it. So I'm glad it sounds like a really powerful experience, widespread powerful experience that was very necessary. And I really appreciate the reclamation of even things like meditation and making that about, okay, how does this relate to the Black experience and the Black feminist experience? And how do we invoke and bring our ancestors and recreate our traditions so that they mirror us, so that they can nourish our embodiments, right?
Yeah.
So I think that that is a beautiful way to do that. 'Cause one thing that I am saying, not to, you know, talk too much, but this just made me think about this, was what I say is, you know, in us seeking justice, and part of that is being able to reclaim our values and the ways that we do things. Like, I don't want to just be, you know, like the dominant American. I don't want to integrate and assimilate. I want to be able to be who I am, who my ancestors were.
Right.
You know, and I think that this is such a good way of bringing that in. Do you want to play a piece of it now, or do you want to wait a little bit?
I think it would be great to play it. I mean, it's about, the whole thing is like 12 minutes long. And so if people wanted to actually meditate right now, they could.
Just not while driving.
If you're driving, don't close your eyes. Don't, you know, leave the zone. But I think that it's, you know, it's also, as a nerd and as somebody who like loves everything these folks have written, and I'm always like, read this by June Jordan, read this by Audre Lorde. And I know that not everybody is going to sit and read these things obsessively the way that I do. It is this moment to be like, okay, but there can be one sentence, you know, like it can be really accessible for someone to at least have a connection to the legacy of June Jordan, even though it's just one thing she said, by saying, okay, it's just one thing she said, but say it like 100 times, you know? So that's also part of the you know, Black feminist English teacher repetition as education approach of it too.
It's how you make a path, you know, you keep treading on it.
Yeah, but so folks want to listen. This is what folks who participated in the 21-day experience kind of had access to every morning. And folks who, and I can say this again afterwards, but folks who want to get access to it can just find them at blackfeministbreathing.tumblr.com.
All right.
Greetings, loved ones, and welcome to the Black Feminist Breathing Chorus, brought to you by the Eternal Summer of the Black Feminist Mind. I am so excited that you have joined me for this first meditation, which is based on June Jordan's famous phrase, "We are the ones we've been waiting for," from her poem for South African women. And this is a phrase that has touched a chord with many people. You may have seen it on t-shirts. I have a picture of Alexis DeVoe with it on a t-shirt actually in front of me right now. It has been in speeches by Barack Obama. It's the title of one of Alice Walker's books. It is the truth. And so over these 21 days, we will be using different phrases, dichos, mantras, or I would just say the truth, that can ground us and bring us into a deepened, embodied remembrance and possibly ecstatic meditative practice together. I think it's especially exciting that we're starting with "We Are the Ones We've Been Waiting For," because I had no idea that there were hundreds of you out there waiting and looking for a meditation series grounded in the wisdom of Black feminists. But I'm so glad that you were, and I'm so glad that we have found each other. We are the ones we've been waiting for, and we are made even more powerful by the fact that there are multitudes of ancestors affirming us in this moment. So set everything aside, take a deep breath, and join me in repeating the truth. Or if you like, just listen and allow the truth to wash over you. We are the ones we've been waiting for. 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 We are the ones we've been waiting for.
Let your heartbeat open your eyes. Take a deep breath. And remember the multitudes that breathe through you. May June Jordan's words stay with you today and always. May they be there in your heart when you need them. Thank you so much for breathing with me. I love you for being present to everything you are present to. If you want, you can take a moment and write down what you're present to right now in a journal. You can holler at me at brokenbeautifulpress@gmail.com if you want to let me know what you're thinking. And remember, if you loved breathing together today and you want to gather to do it in person, there is still time to sign up for the Black Feminist Breathing Retreat in Magnolia, Mississippi, July 4th weekend. And if you just want to pay it forward, on our website you can see how to support other people who want to attend the Black Feminist Breathing Retreat. Sending you infinite, 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 infinite love. And all the music that you heard today was composed by the amazing Julia Roxanne Wallace, also known as Shango Dare. And I invite you to continue to breathe with this music, and as it lifts up, to go ahead and praise dance into the rest of your day. Thank you for being part of the Black Feminist Breathing Chorus. Love you.
You're listening to WTUL New Orleans 91.5 FM. New Orleans Legal Assistance offers legal aid to low-income area residents. There are different contact numbers for different local areas. Numbers for your area are available online by calling 504-865-5885 or visiting Legal Assistance Group website, NOLAC.org. And that was a recording of June Jordan laughing at the very end. And we are here in the studio with Alexis Pauline Gumbs, Dr. Alexis.
Sister Doctor.
And that was a recording of her series, Black Feminist Breathing, some words by June Jordan and a meditation. So I was curious just who else you guys put in there in that series.
Yeah, so there were 20, well, there are actually 21 other folks because it turned out being bonus 22 meditations. So... Essex Hemphill, Harriet Tubman, Fannie Lou Hamer, Ella Baker, Melvin Dixon, Bayard Rustin, so many brilliant folks, Audre Lorde. One mantra comes from the Combahee River Collective Statement, Black women are inherently valuable. That's the only institutional one, and then all the other ones are individual folks, things that they said that are still rocking my world.
Right on. So I know you had wanted to talk about some of the projects that are going on in your life. Tell me a little bit about what Shango Dare, Julia Roxanne Wallace is. There's a film
There is a film that is in pre-production right now. So speaking of us being the ones that we've been waiting for, Julia has written this incredible film called When We Free. And it's a narrative, beautiful, poetic film, fiction film, that imagines the first camp meeting or the first revival after emancipation. And so the newly freed people are there together and they're trying to figure out what is the spiritual practice of being free? What are the African practices that they were hiding that they now are able to do more openly? What are the indigenous practices that have been woven through all of the mixed heritage and collaboration? What are the practices that were imposed that they find useful or that they want to leave behind? So it imagines this moment where these people are making these decisions in their spiritual practice, and how do their rituals change when they are not inside of the system of slavery anymore. So I'm so excited about it because Julia is an incredible theorist, and y'all should check her out. She and another collaborator, Kai Green, have a manifesto, a film manifesto called Tranifest, where they talk about filmmaking as a transformative spiritual practice. And so this film set, I'm so excited. We're in the midst of preparing for it right now. I'm the producer of this film, by the way, so it's literally my job to be like gushing about how awesome it is, but it doesn't change the fact that it's true. It's really awesome. For the actual experience of making the film, not to be like as top down as many filmmaking experiences, or maybe mainstream filmmaking experiences are, mm-hmm. but to itself be a ritual of how we get free. And what in the spiritual practice of filmmaking do we need to remember? Do we need to let go of? Mm-hmm. Do we need to take on in that practice, right? Because it is, in a sense, our camp meeting, right? The ways that we gather across everything and across space and time right now are through our films. The ways that we have the conversations that we need to have as a collective are often through film, right? So I'm so excited about this. And if folks want to get involved, the actual filming will be taking place on incredible historic ground near Durham, North Carolina, the first weekend of August. So you can email us at info@whenwefree.com if you want to be there, and if you want to see the casting call so you can, like, you know, get ready. Or if you want to donate to the film, which you should especially do, you can go to whenwefree.com and see all sorts of information about it. But I just think it's so appropriate to, you know, June Jordan thinking about what it means to get free, you know, Audre Lorde still thinking about the master's tools and dismantling the master's house, and mm-hmm. I just feel like this film offers that ritual for us to say, okay, well, what are, like you were saying before, what are the spiritual practices that can actually sustain freedom? Mm-hmm. You know, that it's a material circumstance, but the brilliance for me of this film is that it imagines, okay, well, what impact does that shift in material circumstances have on, and we can, you know, the shift in material circumstances was, like, technical in some ways, and people were still dealing with poverty and struggling mm-hmm. to eat. But what does the legal, let's say, difference between being enslaved and being free, what does it say about what we need as spiritual practices and what we don't need?
Right. I think that it sounds amazing. I'm just blown away kind of thinking about it. And it also, I think that we don't get enough visioning. I think that we don't get enough of, like, okay, let's even in our minds, let's really construct, you know, what it is that, what is our goal, end goal, as far as, like, a place where we're in a liberated world. What does that actually mm-hmm. look like? What does that right. feel like? What does it smell like and taste like? What are our practices? I don't think that we get to do that enough. I think that we're so always reframing and framing and, you know, blowing up the issue and agitating that we don't get to do enough playing together, envisioning, and really just, and I think that this helps us, that this is one of those mm-hmm. vehicles that's like, no, people, you need to be doing that work.
Yeah.
So I appreciate y'all bringing it into the world.
And yes.
I kind of want to be on that casting call.
Yeah, come on.
So going on to another project, if you're ready to, because we'll definitely give the links to websites so folks can know at the end again. But Octavia's Blood, let's go there for a second. So tell people a little bit about Octavia's Blood, the project, Octavia Butler, the visionary. Let's just go there and your part in the process.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, Octavia Estelle Butler, mm-hmm. actually, she's another person that we have a mantra from in the series, is incredible, visionary, genius, ancestor. It's been almost 10 years since she passed away, which doesn't even feel like that. But she was really the first well-known Black female science fiction writer, and she won all sorts of awards for this writing. She wrote, like, novel after novel after novel, and in these novels she had these incredible women of color protagonists, Black protagonists, Black and Asian protagonists, who were navigating these worlds where, you know, people's minds were connected in different ways, or, you know, literally they're on other planets, or humans had destroyed the possibility for humans to live on this planet and other species are intervening, or a woman is accidentally time traveling back into slavery. There's just so much, like you were saying, space for imagination, right? And so many folks have looked to Octavia's work and they've said, you know, some of these things are warnings about how we as human beings relate to the planet. And they also give us space to say, okay, well, what if there was a totally different model? What if we look at different species as a way to think about power relationships or sexual relationships or Yeah, or economic models, right? Mm-hmm. Where we're not necessarily just stuck in the day-to-day, but we're able to vision, well, wow, what would it be like if we were trying this out on another planet with different circumstances, you know? So Walida Imarisha and Adrienne Marie Brown are both science fiction heads. They love science fiction. They've been reading science fiction for a long time. They also really love Octavia Butler and her work. And they're committed, incredible social justice activists. So they've been participating, you know, along with you, along with me. We've all been participating and saying, hey, everyone, we have to vision the world that we want to live in. And they have distinguished kind of the tradition of Octavia Butler as visionary fiction. Mm. You know, that those of us who believe that the world can be really different from how it is right now are engaged in a process of visionary fiction. And also, even our existence and the way that we live now has to do with the dreaming of our ancestors and of them imagining a world beyond their own circumstances. Mm. It's really, really beautiful the way that they've conceptualized it. And so out of that conversation, they had the idea of like, well, why don't we create a collection of short stories that are written by social justice activists? And so that's what they did. And so they asked different people, you know, including me, if we would write something. And I was like, oh, I don't even write fiction. And I definitely don't write science fiction, you know. So it was this challenge because it was like, but I do agree that we're in this visioning process. I do believe that actually even existing as a, you know, Black feminist time traveler, space cadet, troublemaker, living alter is science fiction. Mm-hmm. So it was great to get to participate that, and it has really actually changed my writing process, and I've been writing more and more in a speculative and science fiction and fantasy type of way than I ever had. But the story that's in the Octavia's Brood collection that I wrote is called Evidence, and it's about somebody many generations into the future who's trying to make an ancestral connection. And so in the concept of the story, this time that we're living in now is known as the time when the silence broke. And this person way in the future is kind of a historian of this time. And she's trying to think about, like, who were the ancestors who participated in that? She's kind of writing letters back to them. She's seeing, like, satellite imprints of things that they did, of writing on the wall. Like, she's working together with all these artifacts. And, you know, of course, it's something that as a Black feminist researcher and scholar, I can relate to, right? Because I'm looking for the history. I'm trying to historicize. I'm writing letters back. I'm hoping for letters forward, you know, all of that. But she's doing this in a different time where the silence has broken, and like what it is to be human is very different from what it is right now, but it's related to what we are doing right now. So that it was really an incredible exercise to think about that, or to imagine a future after some of the silence that imposes a spectrum of sexual violence in particular, some of the silence that allows us to continue to relate to each other through capitalism instead of relating to each other through love. You know, to imagine a time after that, while of course we're in that, it was a difficult thing to do, but it was also really instructive because it's like, okay, well, since I do believe that there's a future past that, there are certain insights from that future that should inform the way that I'm engaging right now.
Yeah. Wow, I really look forward to reading that. I heard I heard you read an excerpt at the Allied Media Conference, and that was exciting.
Yeah.
Who else are some of the contributors?
Oh, it's such a great set of folks, and I know I'm not going to remember everyone, but great writer, Leah Lakshmi Pyapsina Samara Sinha. She has an incredible piece in there. Danny McLean has a piece in there. Gabriel Tedoros has a piece in there. Tunde, I don't know if y'all are familiar with this amazing singer from Detroit named Tunde. He is like science fiction in himself. You guys are going to check out his videos on YouTube. He's incredible. He has, I think, not only a story, but a companion CD. Autumn Brown has a piece in there. Alexa from Climbing Poetry, she has a piece in there. Walida and Adrienne, they have pieces. You know, it's really, I can't wait to read it either. I haven't gotten to read the pieces, and I'm like, oh, the anticipation, because I've heard parts of different people's pieces, and I'm like, this is going to be amazing.
Yes. And when does it, when is it going to be released?
It's going to be released this fall 2014.
Okay. All right. Well, we have about 10 minutes left, so let's see where we can fit in.
Okay.
So thinking about June Jordan and kind of the conversation we're having as we're getting ready, started, you know, the intersections of art and politics.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very, I don't know, of course, my mind went to Kara Walker for a second. Not that I want to talk about it necessarily. But because that's like the big, you know, I hate when there's like one thing that everybody's talking about and then it silences so many other things that we could be talking about. So let us bring something, something else that from the art and political intersecting moments. And I know you brought some poetry kind of in the June Jordan tradition.
Yeah.
Would you like to share something with us?
I would love to. I would really be honored to. It's like my favorite way to celebrate June Jordan's birthday, because poetry is the way we tell the truth. So the poem that I brought is part of an exercise I was doing with myself called After June. And so there are certain poems of hers that strike me so much that it was like, what would it mean to create a poem that rigorously engages the structure of this poem? Mm. That it doesn't necessarily, you know, it doesn't use the same words. Maybe the words I use rhyme with the words she used. Or maybe it's just that the rhythm is the same, even though all the words are different. And one of the poems I did that with is June Jordan's poem for Angela, which she wrote for Angela Davis, great warrior, freedom fighter, beloved elder, who at that time was on the run and was really being hunted by multiple forces, actually, here in the United States.
Allowed for an open season on Black women on streets.
Exactly.
Well.
That's
Everybody's Angela.
Everybody's Angela. And we are.
Right.
And that's why we should not be harassed. That's part of the truth of that, right? And June Jordan was one of the artists who was like, we are going to express our love, because expressing our love for Angela Davis in this moment is expressing our love for ourselves and is expressing our love for all our sisters. And so I didn't live during that moment, but that's a moment that's important, right? It informs the way I love. And so this is a poem that I wrote really about a different form of being hunted, but is for a young man named Torian, a young man from Durham, who as a 15-year-old was a student of mine in a writing program. And tragically, he was murdered when a car full of teenagers shot a gun into another car full of teenagers in our city of Durham, North Carolina. And so this poem is called The Heat of Realness, and it's for Torian. Sun is not a metaphor. Behind the night, the sun is real in weight, with brightness to envelop you, where nothing contradicts your face, where life is known as love and cherished. Too many deaths foretold have shocked our useless echoes of your name, unlocked, ricocheting cruelly into now, dart speed of your stilled and stalling heart. Apathy rocks you back on every side, and we have failed the brightness of your eyes. We forget the mandate of your voice. How high did we expect for you to jump? How fast to dodge? How many days and nights? But sun is real, and you are not a metaphor. I see your face. In early revelation come too late. You bleed out light already there to see without your broken skin. You radiate a sacred text ignored. The sun is real, waiting behind the night. I see you in the heat of waking up. So that's for Torian, and it's after Poem for Angela by June Jordan.
Thank you for sharing. Yeah. I know that must be, you know, difficult. Just makes me think about how much that violence is still going on every day in the streets. Chicago in this last weekend, New Orleans, I think the weekend before that, or okay, sorry, I'll
save that for. It's and this is, I feel like this is because it's June Jordan's birthday, this is the thing. You know, she really pushed for us to be honest and talk about those things that were hard to talk about with so much love for each other, but also with an uncompromising realness, you know, of what it means for these systems to exist and for us to lose each other like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good way of putting it, us losing each other. Mm-hmm. So there is another ancestral revolution coming up soon.
Yes.
And I know we wanted to bring her into the space as well. So Ida B. Wells.
Yes.
Please.
Ida B. Wells. Yes. Ida B. Wells. Her birthday is the 16th. So her birthday is a week from today. And I just think about Ida B. Wells because she was... Well, by the way, Ida B. Wells is like the leader of the anti-lynching movement in the United States. She was a catalyst in many of the founding of many of the Black women's organizations and clubs in the United States post-slavery. She had a way of fighting segregation and racist violence. Like, she basically convinced her entire Black community to move out of Memphis at a time when the economy was dependent on those folks and really shut down all their businesses. She was like, oh, okay, you know, we can leave, you know, which I think is incredible. And she has a publication that she created. So she was this very radical investigative journalist, and she was investigating lynching, which, you know, actually had her newspaper burned down, you know, as an act of retribution in the South. And she had to think really creatively about how could she tell the stories that she needed to tell, knowing that this is not what American media was for, and knowing that she, you know, her life was threatened, right? She wasn't able to even come back to some of the places that she lived and reported. And she has one publication that I would encourage y'all to check out. If you can find it in your libraries, it's called A Red Record, Mob Rule in New Orleans. And it documents basically a race war, you know, and racist violence in New Orleans, which, like other southern cities, and this was her main argument, there was no protection under the law for violence against Black people or racist violence against white people, let's say, who had partnered with a Black person or who were, you know, for the freedom and equality of Black people. Like, that racist violence, there was nothing checking it, right? So it was mob rule. And she was like, listen to this. Like, this is what it looks like, right? People say it's because of this. People say it's justified. They're trying to say that, you know, this is about rape, and it's not. You know, and she tells the stories really specifically, like great investigative journalists after her have done. And the way she was able to do it was that Black women supported her. So Black women's clubs would be like passing the hat and making sure that she could print these things that nobody else would print for fear of being killed. So as we lead up to Ida B. Wells' birthday next week, I just want to encourage everyone listening to remember what it takes to be radical, to remember how important it is to seek the truth and to tell the truth, and that sometimes that also includes generating support from those who believe with us or those who are around us or who those who usually aren't the ones funding and creating their own media.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ida.
Thank you, Ida. Oh,
yes,
always.
Yes. All these wonderful ancestors that you brought with you, that you're always walking around with.
Always.
Okay. So tell us how, give us all your information so that people can get
okay.
Can donate so that they can check out the films, check out Octavia's Brud. Lay it on us. We got 2 minutes.
So okay. All right. So you should check out the film When We Free at whenwefree.com. You should definitely check out Octavia's Brood at octaviasbrood.com. For a short time, that meditation that we listened to is available on the blackfeministbreathing.tumblr.com site, and you can also get limited, there's really only 20 exist, limited edition version of the collage that I made for June Jordan. So if you want to celebrate June Jordan's birthday or send somebody else a birthday poster, you should definitely check that out. And next week, Ida B. Wells' poster will be there too. So you can just celebrate Black feminist birthdays with me for the rest of your life. And you can email me at brokenbeautifulpress@gmail.com. I love to hear from everyone. And yeah, get at me. Oh, alexispauline.com is where you can just kind of see everything.
All right, Alexis Pauline Doctor. It's been wonderful having you and all the ancestors you bring in this space.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, yes. And of course, y'all will be living online in this this interview. So we thank you very much. And when you're back in town, please come and visit us again and continue all the wonderful work and spread all that infinite love.
Yes.
Thank you.
Sai welte wata dete O sai welte aminata de fetch wata for drink O sai fetste de pequinha e de cry soro O sai fetste salo no get rest for him. A couple, we don't know waiting for do it, couple. Who's I fed day? The picking eye, the cry sorrow.
You're listening. Oh, excuse me. You're listening to WTUL New Orleans 91.5 FM. This is Wednesday morning's news and views programming. I hope you are finding this day to be treating you well so far. Here is what's going on around town, and then Democracy Now! House of Blues, 8 p.m. in the Parish Room, The Deer Hunter Plus from Indian Lakes. Siberia, 9 p.m., Ken South Rock, An Atomic Whirl, Ancient Filth, Funeral Cone, Blob Snarly. Howlin' Wolf at 9 p.m. in The Den, Jonathan Roniger, Gypsyland. The Louisiana State Museum's Old U.S. Mint has A.J. Kroos at 8 p.m. Algiers Ferry Dock, Wednesday on the Point, featuring Eric Lindell and Roddy Romero. The Beatnik, formerly the Big Top, Three Ring Circus, 8 p.m., The Donkeys. Cafe Istanbul, 8 p.m., The Good Night Show with John Calhoun presents Irma Thomas. DBA has Alex McMurray with Bill Malchow and Sick at 7 p.m., Walter Wolfman Washington and the Roadmasters at 10 p.m. Gasa Gasa, Raheem Glaspie featuring Nishia Ruffins, 6 p.m. The Hi-Ho Lounge, Chris Sheard and the Transplanted Roots, 9 p.m. Snug Harbor at 8 and then again at 10 p.m. is Delfeo Marsalis and Uptown Jazz Orchestra. The Zeitgeist has The Return to Holmes, 5:30 p.m., Lucky Them, 7:15 p.m., and The Dance of Reality at 9:15 p.m., and the Indie Wood Movie Theater is showing The Last Picture Show at 6 p.m., I Ran Against Us at 8:30 p.m., and The Mouse That Roared at 10:30 p.m. Britannia Theater has Mr. Roberts, A Hard Day's Night, Singing in the Rain, and Jersey Boys, 891-2787 for show times. And just a reminder, any opinions or views that you hear on this show are solely those of the person speaking and do not represent or reflect those of Tulane University or WTUL New Orleans. Okay, time for Democracy Now!